It's time for Central Iowa Today on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Central Iowa Today for this Friday afternoon. I'm Brent Wheathorn. And today I'm joined in studio by Sue Cahill, a state representative from Marshalltown. Is home for the weekend from the legislative session. And good afternoon, Sue, and welcome to Central Iowa Today.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate being here.
Well, Sue, as mentioned, you are home from the legislative session, and I guess maybe a good place to begin with that. How are things going in Des Moines? Are you getting done, I guess, what you hope to maybe accomplish at this point of time?
Brent, it is hard to know. Again, being a part of the minority party, it isn't always my choice what comes forth in the bills that we work on. And the majority party has the power or the ability to put forth the bills. So many things that I personally, I put forth some bills, but they never made it to a committee. And that is the choice of the majority party. So personally, not always getting the things done I'd like to, but we have put forth some good bills, and we've put forth what I consider, in my opinion, some bad legislation. So it's kind of a balance.
Well, a question I might ask you yourself, you know, being a teacher, I think a lot of what's brought to the forefront has to deal with education. Maybe you'd like to talk about some of the education bills that are maybe being debated at this time.
Definitely, Brent. I felt last week was a bad week to be an educator. I felt like I had been punched in the gut as one of those frontline workers that works in a school. Several bills came forth, and, you know, I have been currently am a Title I teacher at Woodbury Elementary and Rogers Elementary. I've been a kindergarten teacher. I've been a teacher librarian and am trained in that area. I worked on the district level as a mentor coordinator. So I've got a good range of experience and feel I bring some good thoughts and good ideas to educational legislation. But this week, there were two bills in particular in the House that I opposed. And one of them involved, and I think it was called the Transparency Bill, where it was House File 2577, in which it required teachers to put online all of their materials that they work with in a classroom, whether it's articles, videotapes, books, teacher-created materials, and any things that they use to teach their students. And I have been opposed to this in a number of ways. In Marshalltown here, we have a great system. A few years ago, we adapted, and through the pandemic, we adapted using Google Classroom and also another online platform called Canvas. Both of those platforms have a parent portal that parents can see what their children are learning, see the materials that are out there. One of my colleagues mentioned, she's a teacher at the high school, mentioned that she teaches 200 students in a day. And she said she has invited and sent out invitations to all of those parents to be a part of her Canvas platform. And only 10 or 15 have responded. So this is a very limited group of people who want to be able to see every aspect of their child's education. Now, I am fully for parents being informed on what goes on in the classroom. And in my vision and in my world, anytime a parent came forward and wanted to know what it was we were teaching or what it looked like, what materials we were using, we graciously met that request. We want our parents to be partners with us as we work with students. We do not have a sinister indoctrination of their students. We want to do best for the students. That's what we are all about. And I think this legislation leaves that short.
Well, that's one of the problems with social media, I guess, and you didn't hear about this controversy in days past, parents so concerned about what their their children might be learning in the classrooms, and anymore it's just getting so out of control that it's, I guess to some degree, it's creating more stress for the teachers, and that's part of the reason maybe why more people are getting out of the teaching profession, which is a concern as well.
I agree. Again, I think our books have been open for parents all along. Again, we consider those parents, they are our partners in teaching students. But all students have individual needs. We cannot create a one-size-fits-all for all students. I think some of the, this is the, as I said, the they call it the transparency bill. It also has part of it about being able to question books that are in the school library, and also needing our graduating seniors or juniors or seniors to take a civics test that the Senate version has it as a graduation requirement. The House version just says it will be given when they're taking their government class. But I just don't think that this is the best way that we're spending our time. Teachers work incredibly hard. They are trying to meet the multiple needs of kids in their classroom. And they, to be able to put all of that online in a format that meets what the legislature requires, it's going to be a burden on teachers. And what it's going to do is take away from the time we spend with students. And that's the key. In our districts, in our throughout, our goal is to be able to meet students' needs where they are, be able to work with them to meet their individual needs. We can't put a generic lesson out to follow and expect every student is going to respond to that. We have to make changes every day. So it is a burden on teachers, but even bigger than that, it will affect our students by teachers spending their time on this, whether we call it hoops we're jumping through or whether we're calling it the micromanagement of the government. I think students are going to be harmed by this policy.
And another thing involving education, I'm not sure if it's being debated in the legislature, but I have seen cases in Iowa where some school districts are looking at maybe going with a four-day school week rather than a five-day school week. And the way I look at that, that might actually create a longer school day, which I don't know if that would be a positive thing. But is that something that you're seeing in the legislature or not?
You know, I think we've seen it in some individual districts. I know Iowa City has looked at it in their district and a couple of other smaller districts. What it also involves, though, not just the four-day work week, but possibly extending more of a continuous calendar so that students are going a little longer through the summertime, having maybe a six-week break in the summer instead of an 11- or 12-week break that is more the norm right now. We looked, and I sat on a committee probably 4 or 5 years ago looking at a continuous calendar for the Marshalltown schools. Just because we know over the summer, students have some learning loss. And so we didn't in Marshalltown debate the four-day work week, but I can see where that does save some money on your transportation, your food and nutrition areas when you're only doing 4 days instead of five, your utilities, some of your infrastructure. Again, I don't know about how long those days go, but I agree with you that kids kind of, they do need some breaks, and there is a certain level where they kind of tune out at the end of the day. So I don't know a whole lot about that. It has not been brought forth to the legislature, but again, I know some communities in Iowa are considering it.
And another issue I think I heard about maybe a couple months ago from Theron Schutte, the Marshalltown school superintendent. And I think Kyle Martin had even brought it up too during the program. But initially, we didn't realize there were any specifically requirements for being a substitute school teacher. But I guess there are, which I think maybe is a good thing, because I don't know if just bringing someone in off the street to teach school at a moment's notice without maybe the proper credentials, you might say, is maybe a good thing. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Brent, during the pandemic, the legislature relaxed some of the requirements to be a substitute teacher. But anyone who wants to be a substitute needs to have at least 60 hours of undergraduate work or an AA degree, either one of those. They need to go through a substitute authorization class, which I believe you can do in a weekend. It's not incredibly long, but it does try and bring them up to speed on what it is required in the school district. They have to go through the background checks and make sure that they have a clean record to be able to work with students. So during the pandemic, the requirement from having a BA, moving it back to an AA, were proposed by the legislature. And we did this year approve that ongoing, knowing how we are so short of substitutes and our teacher being able to acquire substitutes and our teacher shortage that they relaxed some of those issues. There was a bill that I was on the subcommittee just in the last couple of weeks that had that people could volunteer to be a substitute teacher if they had the requirements, if they had gone through the substitute training, if they had gone through the background checks and all of those issues. And it was mainly because there are some companies that promote volunteerism among their staff. So they would encourage someone One or two people out of some company said, hey, I could go be a volunteer substitute in my school district. I know they need subs. I know that I can work with that. I got the credentials necessary. But I have to say, being a professional teacher versus a volunteer teacher really raises some concerns for me. It raises some concerns that sometimes substitute teachers come in and they don't exactly follow your plans. They may go off on a tangent of their own that is not allowed. Maybe they would come in and want to teach the 1619 project, which is a curriculum or studies of a different version of how slavery affected the history of the United States. And some people are very opposed to that. You know, they feel it's changing history versus looking at it through another lens. And the legislature last year made it so that there were some requirements for all teachers on what we could discuss concerning divisive topics. If you have a volunteer substitute teacher, they have no obligation to necessarily follow all of the pieces that are out there because they're not getting paid. They don't have that contractual agreement to follow the expectations of the school district because they're a volunteer. We love volunteers in our schools, but I have the belief that volunteers should be supervised by other teachers or other staff and not being used as what I call a volunteer. It just doesn't work for me.
Well, we are kind of getting toward the closing stages of the program, but in addition to education, maybe what are some of the other things that are being debated in the legislature right now?
We are currently looking at the different budgets for all of the different departments. I said earlier it was kind of a bad week to be a legislator. Well, we debated the education budget that affects our regents institutions, our schools of the blind and the deaf, our education Department of Education, and college student aid. Again, I do not understand, but the budget gave no new monies to the regents. It put forth a student workforce scholarship where they are allotting money for students to be able to enter high needs programs. 50% of that money goes for teachers and 50% for other high needs areas. That one, again, I don't quite understand. We didn't give any new monies to the Early Childhood Iowa. But some other good bills that have gone through. There's been, I've had several people contact me, and they've done put solar panels in their homes and things, and the tax credits ran out before they were able to claim them. Those in the in the House. We did pass that back so people will be able to get those types of credits again. We're working on a bottle bill. That is a topic for many people. You know, our redemption and our ability to curb recycle or to put forth recycling and encourage it. We're still debating that one out. We don't have any set plan. The Senate and the House have different versions of it. So those will be some things that we continue our discussions of in the coming weeks.
And maybe as we wind down the program as well, if people, you know, might be interested in getting a hold of you to maybe express a concern or just want to know what's going on in the legislature, what is the best way to get a hold of you? Do you like have a website, or what would your email or your
sure.
contact information be?
Really, the easiest way, and if you don't remember this or write it down today, the easiest way is to go to the Iowa Legislature. You look up under legislators. My name is there, and it gives my legislative email. And actually, emails are about the easiest for me to respond to. Before I came here, I responded to about four or five of them just sitting there at home in the last 15 minutes. And my email is sue@legis.iowa.gov. But again, if you just Google Iowa Legislature, it will lead you to the site, and you'll be able to find my email on that point. I encourage people to contact me.
Well, again, Sue Cahill, thank you very much for joining us on Central Iowa Today. Hopefully we can do it again in the near future. Again, you've been listening to Central Iowa Today here on KFJB, and have a good week.